the bands are here to bring good cheer your way. It's make-believe ballroom time and free to everyone. It's no time to fret, your dial is set for fun. Just close your eyes and visualize in your solitude. Your favorite bands are on the stands and Mr. Miller puts you in the mood. It's make-believe ballroom time, the hour of sweet romance. Here's your make-believe ballroom. Come on, children, let's dance, let's dance.
Hello, world. I'm Jeff Bressler, turning on the lights of the make-believe ballroom and welcoming you into my crystal studio for another program of classic big band hits from the 1930s and 40s. Please get ready as I play for you some amazing big band jazz, swing, blues, and boogie-woogie favorites. Folks, you're listening to the Make-Believe Ballroom, broadcasting almost continuously since 1935. Hi, folks. Once again, thanks for joining me today in the Crystal Studio. How about I start today's program with a little history lesson?
To sell you New Orleans. Come on, come on, and you all can go to town way down in New salesman with nothing in his jeans. That's why I'd like to sell you New Orleans. Come on, come on, and do all the things there are to do in New Orleans. I told you what it means, so won't you let me sell you New Orleans? Come on, come on, and you all can go to town way down in New Orleans.
That was the Irving Berlin penned title song from his Broadway musical of the same name, Louisiana Purchase. Here performed by Ray Noble and his orchestra, vocal by Don Bonney, recorded in New York City, May the 21st, 1940, the 1803 Louisiana Purchase, which in essence just about doubled the size of the United States. Since we are on the topic of history, why don't I continue this makeshift history lesson with this one about a historic ocean-faring figure.
Mr. Christopher Columbus sailed the sea without a compass. When his men began a rumpus, up spoke Christopher Columbus.
Recorded in New York City on February the 28th, 1936, for Regal Zonophone Records, Louis King Garcia and his swing band with their wonderful rendition of Christopher Columbus and an amazing band Louis King Garcia put together. He was playing the trumpet, Maury Samuel on the trombone, the legendary Joe Marsala playing the clarinet, Herbie Hamer, tenor sax, Adrian Rollini, the master, on the piano, the guitar standout, Carmen Mastrin, Sid Weiss, string bass, played for Benny Goodman, and Dan Darcy on the drums and providing the vocal. Now, Louis Garcia, if you don't know much about him, was a Puerto Rican-born trumpet player. He had a stellar resume. He moved to the U.S. from Puerto Rico early in the 1920s, where he, Louis Garcia, played with the original Dixieland Jazz Band. In the 30s, he worked mostly as a sideman in recording studios, where he played frequently for both Jimmy and Tommy Dorsey. He also played with Vic Burton, Richard Himber, Richard Hember, we covered on the program not too long ago. Nat Brandwine and Louis Prima. Now, Louis Garcia occasionally put together a small band, and he cut some records like Christopher Columbus. Let me play one more by King Garcia.
I've heard since the swing began. Oh, swing, Mr. Charlie. Oh, swing, Mr. Charlie. No one can swing it like you do. I can't get enough of that swingable stuff. Oh, swing, Mr. Charlie, just swing.
Records from 1936, King Louis Garcia and his orchestra with Swing Mr. Charlie, vocal by Dan Darcy. I'm not Charlie, but rather Jeff Bressler. And friends, you're listening to the one, the only, the original Make-Believe Ballroom, where it was just my pleasure to introduce you to King Garcia, whose music I don't think I ever played on the Make-Believe Ballroom. And I don't think I ever played music by this quote-unquote little-known group. The record might be a little scratchy, but the music ain't.
Thank you.
From Decca Records, Three Little Words by the Chicagoans, recorded in Chicago, Illinois, November the 19th, 1935. Oh, I neglected to mention one thing. The full name of the group was actually Gene Krupa and his Chicagoans. Now, you might be saying, wait a minute, Jeff, wasn't Krupa playing drums for Benny Goodman in 1935? And the answer to that question is yes. You might follow that one up with, well, wait a minute, Jeff. The piano player on that record sounded like Jess Stacy, who also played for Benny Goodman. Excellent observation. And the answer to that question is also yes. And a final question you may be asking is, wait a minute, Jeff. That clarinetist sounded unmistakably just like Benny Goodman. Well, good reason to believe that, because it was indeed Benny Goodman. Now, while Benny was under contract to Victor Records at the time, for whatever reason, and if you know, please email me at jeff@makebelieveballroomradio.com. For whatever reason, he asked Krupa to front this group, Gene Krupa and the Chicagoans. My best guess is that it was pretty common for musicians in the 1930s to record for different labels under alternate group names. They did this to get around exclusive contract restrictions, sometimes to make a little extra money. Now, at the time, Krupa was also under an exclusive contract with Benny Goodman's band for Victor Records. So whether it was that loophole or not, or maybe Benny wanted to actually let Krupa reconstruct the group he belonged to early in his career, which was Eddie Condon and his Chicagoans, or maybe Benny perhaps was just giddy. He was recording in his hometown of Chicago at the time. I don't know, but they played some wonderful music together. So let's hear one more from Gene Krupa and his Chicagoans from that Decca Record 4-song session.
Thank you.
The Last Roundup by Gene Krupa and his Chicagoans from that one time only, November 19th, 1935 Decca session. Fortunately, I'm not here one time, but each and every week on this radio station as I bring to you the make-believe ballroom from my Crystal studio. Now, Benny Goodman, as well as many other band leaders, recorded using pseudonyms from time to time. And as I mentioned, most musicians like Goodman, big musicians, were signed to exclusive deals with a record label, say Columbia, RCA Victor, or Decca. Now, that meant they legally could only record under their own name for that company. But many musicians and band leaders wanted some extra income, as I just mentioned, or even the labels themselves, the Columbias, the RCA Victors, and Deccas, wanted to churn out more records, so they'd cut sides for smaller labels under fake names. I'm talking about like Crown Records, Banner Records, what's another one? Harmony Records, so many of them. Now, while the major labels like Victor, Columbia, and Decca sold their records for around 75 cents, their lesser labels could sell for a quarter or even a dime. As a matter of fact, many of these budget labels were called dime store records. Now, in the annals of band and band leader pseudonyms, the use of other names for the purposes I just described, there was one band leader who was the king of the pseudonym, a serial band leader who had more names than I can even count, and I'm going to tell you about him in just a few minutes. Let me play a record where actually, everyone who said they were indeed were.
Goodness gracious alive, look, baby pops, don't be so fly. Goodness gracious alive, say, man, did you finally arrive?
Hey, let's go, Joe.
Ain't nothing to do it but the so-and-so.
Hey, let's go, Joe.
Knock me something, cause I'm ready to go.
Hey, ain't so, Joe.
Ain't nothing to do it if the brass don't blow.
Hey, ain't so, Joe.
Knock me something, cause I'm ready to go. Rip out me, gusting me, justing me, joy. Knock me some of that good fine hoy. Rip out your gossip, you gossip with joy. You jump, jump, jump when you jump with joy.
Come on, Joe, let's go.
Duff's really mellow on the Alamo.
Hey, let's go, Joe.
Knock me something, cause I'm ready to go. Me classic, me classic, me classic, me joy. Knock me something, cause I'm ready to go.
Groovy on the Alamo.
Oh, let's go, Joe.
Knock me something,
something, cause I'm ready to go.
Me gussick, me gussick, me gussick, me boy. Knock me something, cause I'm ready to go.
Recorded in Los Angeles, California on July the 27th, 1942 for OK Records, which was a subsidiary of Columbia Records. We just heard Cab Calloway and his orchestra with Let's Go Joe. And now let's go to the king of the alias, the king of the pseudonym. Here are two records. Let me just look at the dates here. One is from 1930, the other from 31. But you're going to get more of that 20s flavor from these two records than the dawn of swing sound that was starting to develop in the early 30s. But nevertheless, two very pleasant to listen to records.
And easy. Smell the floor with wax, let yourself relax, loosen up, your back's free and easy. Start out breezy, let your elbows sag, let your tootsies drag like you had a jag, free and easy. Clave men, brave men, one foot in the grave, men, grab yourself a partner now. Oh, and show girls, slow girls, never had a four girls, here's your only chance and how. Oh, and if you pleasey, while the music plays, you can dance for days to the lazy craze, free and easy.
This song was written, it's kind of historic, for Buster Keaton, the great comedian, in his movie Talkie's debut from Columbia Records, The Free and Easy, performed by the Columbia Photo Players Orchestra, vocal by Eddie Walters, recorded in New York City, March the 13th, 1930. One more, then I'm going to reveal the gentleman who was referred to by many as the Dean of Recorded Music.
Mm-hmm.
is it that makes me want you the way that I do? What is it? Please tell me, what is it that gives me a thrill like nothing else will? What is it? You're not as good looking as some of the rest, but you've got that something that I like the best. What is it? What is it? I'm dying to know why I love you so. What is it?
From the budget label Harmony, this record, as a matter of fact, was also issued on the Clarion and Velvet Tone budget labels. Song titled What Is It by Lloyd Keating and his music. Vocal by Paul Small, recorded in New York City, August the 25th, 1931. So who was behind the Columbia Photo Players Orchestra and Lloyd Keating and his music, as well as Earl Marlowe and his orchestra, the Knickerbockers, Ray Seeley and his orchestra, the Gotham Troubadours, and literally dozens of others? Well, it was actually one Ben Selvin, a violinist and bandleader, who on his own with his Ben Selvin Orchestra led his own popular band in the 1920s into the early 40s. But through a series of aliases, Ben Selvin became one of the most prolific band leaders of the late 20s into the early 40s, where he recorded under dozens of aliases, many that I just mentioned. Now, this practice was especially rampant on the dime store labels, which I discussed earlier in regard to Gene Krupa and his Chicagoans. Now, Ben was, without a doubt, through his aliases, the most recorded band leader in history. It is said, through the 20s into the early 40s, Ben Selvin, get this, ladies and gentlemen, made over 13,000 recordings. That's in the Guinness Book of World Records. Ben Selvin, the serial alias bandleader. I'm Jeff Bressler, and this is the Make Believe Ballroom, coming to you today from the Crystal Studio. Now, here's a record, a World War II morale booster that was recorded as a V-disc. What is a V-disc? Well, I'll tell you in a moment.
victory polka.
Sing, sing, raise your voices loud and strong. Victory polka. Victory polka. When this lovely dream has all come true, we'll be dancing the victory polka.
Just heard Victory Polka, Kate Kaiser and his orchestra, recorded on V-Disc in 1944. So what exactly was a V-Disc? During World War II, when new commercial records were scarce, and I'm going to explain that in a minute, the United States War Department, well, they decided to create something special for the troops. And that was the V-Disc, which is short for Victory Disc. Between 1943 and 49, the government teamed up with the Musicians Union to make exclusive records for soldiers overseas. Now, prior to the V-Discs, big band records that were recorded by the major record labels were shipped all over the European and Pacific theaters of war for the troops to enjoy in a variety of spots, ranging from all the way up in officers' clubs to barracks, really, in many instances, right out close to the battlefield itself, wherever they could produce a record and a record player. So while World War II was raging back home, the devastating musician strike of 1942 began. The American Federation of Musicians, they began a strike, and we've discussed it many times here on the Ballroom. They began a strike against the major American record companies because of disagreements over royalty payments. So beginning on July the 31st, 1942, no union musician could make commercial recordings for any commercial record company. And that meant that a union musician was allowed to participate only on radio programs and other kinds of musical entertainment, but not in a recording session. And that horrible strike lasted until 1944. Many people say that was the major reason for the downfall of the big band era. But going back to the V-Discs, as I mentioned, due to the huge morale benefit of playing music to the troops during the War Department worked out their arrangement with the Union to continue to provide music to the troops. And that resulted in record discs, V-Discs, carrying the biggest names of the era, Glenn Miller, Duke Ellington, Count Basie, Frank Sinatra, Ella Fitzgerald, Artie Shaw, all the giants, the Dorseys, all the giants of the time, all performing fresh versions of their hits, often with a few personal words to, quote-unquote, the boys overseas. Now, the deal that the government worked out with the musicians' union was quite simple. No money changed hands. There were no sales. They just provided the records for morale. And when the war ended, V-discs by the Department of War were ordered destroyed, but obviously many survived in collectors' hands. We just heard one a few moments ago. And I would assume that many soldiers brought V-discs back home to the States as souvenirs. So let's play a few more. Let me choose this one. Here's Duke Ellington and his orchestra on V-disc, just for the troops, with a song titled Are You Stickin'? Thank you. a Duke Ellington V-Disc. Let me play another one. Why don't we go for something a little different? Let me play this one.
I'm always doing something, something for the boys. Say, I'm always doing something for our lads if it adds to their joy. So don't tell me it's a rum thing if I'm out with them nightly till three. 'Cause I'm always doing something for the boys, or they're doing something for me. Hey, good looking, say, what's cooking? Do you feel like booking some fun tonight? Hey, 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 good looking, if you're not already tooken, could you meet me soon in the moonlight? Why don't we two go roaming through the gloaming while the stars are combing the skies above? Hey, 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 good looking, give in and we'll begin cooking that delish little dish called love. So don't tell me it's a rum thing if I'm out with them nightly till three. 'Cause I'm always doing something for the boys, or they're doing something, always doing something for me.
That was Red Norvo and his orchestra with a Carol Bruce vocal. And a song titled Something for the Boys, recorded on V-Disc in 1943. Let's see here. You know, I'd like to play a few more, but I'm checking the clock and I have another order of business to attend to on the program. So I think over several weeks to come, we can sprinkle in a few more V-Discs and some of the concert V-Discs that also went out to the troops in theater that were recorded at military bases in the U.S. So I received an email from a listener with a request that I must honor on this program, and I'm going to read that email to you now. It says, Jeff, I'm an avid listener to the Make Believe Ballroom. I first heard the show back in the early 1970s. When I worked during the summer for my grandfather, Ernest Kemper, who owned a travel agency on Fifth Avenue in New York City, I booked tickets with the airlines for his customers in the back office as a summer job. My grandfather, Ernie, always had the radio set in the back office to WNEW, where the Make Believe Ballroom came from. Next week, well, this is, it's actually, this email is meaning this week. Next week, we'll commemorate the 30th anniversary of his death. Can you play a Glenn Miller song in his memory? He loved Glenn Miller. He had an extensive collection of his records, but he also loved the songs played on the ballroom in the 1970s from Sinatra, Torme, Stephen Eady, to Tony Bennett, and many more. Thanks in advance for giving me the chance to commemorate his passing on a program he so much enjoyed. And that is signed Lenny Lewis. Not only can I play a Miller song for you, Lenny, in honor of your grandfather, but one that is specific, believe it or not, to Fifth Avenue, where he ran his business. Thank you.
bus, take a car, hail a cab, and there you are on Fifth Avenue. Every Joe, every Jane walks along that dreamer's lane on Fifth Avenue. Where they stop, windows shop, and their hopes are so high, pricing rings, pretty things that they can't afford to buy. But they smile, they don't care, everyone's a millionaire when they're strolling on Fifth Avenue.
There, Tex. How's the old cowhand? What you out shopping on Fifth Avenue, man?
Why, I'm shopping for shafts. My Sunday pair got mussed. I tried to bust a bronco, but the bronc wouldn't buzz.
Do you ride that wild pony at the rodeo?
No, I ride that wild tenor in the Wild West show. We got a cowboy band that comes on. You love it.
Well, come on, man. Let me hear a little of it.
Recorded on August the 14th, 1940, in New York City, Fifth Avenue. Glenn Miller and his orchestra, vocal by Marion Hutton, with little chat at the end with Tex Beneke. My pleasure, Lenny Lewis, to play that record to commemorate the anniversary of the passing of your late grandfather, Ernest Kemper. To reach me, like Lenny did, with your comments, requests, or dedications, just shoot me an email to Jeff at MakeBelieveBallroomRadio.com. That's Jeff at MakeBelieveBallroomRadio.com. I think, looking at the clock now, the big bull of a clock here on the wall in the Crystal Studio, I think we have time for one more record, so why not play another one about a famed New York City street.
Come and meet those dancing feet on the avenue I'm taking you to, 42nd Street. Hear the beat of dancing feet. Now it's a song I love, the melody of 42nd Street. The dull nifties from the 50s, innocent and sweet. Sexy ladies from the 80s who are indiscreet. They're side by side, they're glorified. Why, the underworld can meet the elite. Naughty, fraudy, gaudy, sporty, 42nd Street. Thank you.
On Brunswick Records, we just heard 42nd Street by Hal Kemp and his orchestra, with a vocal by Skinny Ennis, recorded not New York City, but in this case, Chicago, on December the 7th, 1932. Folks, it's time for me now to head out into the street, because we are out of time and I will shortly be evicted from the Crystal Studio. It was truly a pleasure having you join me for today's broadcast. To reach me, I'm Jeff at MakeBelieveBallroomRadio.com. That's Jeff at MakeBelieveBallroomRadio.com. And to hear over 200 past programs in the Make Believe Ballroom series, just go to MakeBelieveBallroom.com. That's MakeBelieveBallroom.com. So until next week, this has been Jeff Bressler.